Hello and welcome to Let's Talk About It podcast. I am your host, Apostle Rosemary of RCN Ministries and OSGA Apostolic Network, along here with my husband, Apostle Herbie. On today, we're going to come with part two of mental health and mental illness on our podcast, and we're going to deal with the trauma side of it. So just bear with us and let us go ahead and go through this on today. We pray that it blesses each and every one of you. We know that this is a topic that many in the church or as Christians would consider to be taboo. But this is something that we need to deal with as being the hospital, which is the church, to deal with these different things that are not a part of societal norms. And so this is something that the Lord has pressed upon Apostle Herbie and I on our hearts to be able to deal with it. And we pray it's going to be a blessing to each and every one of you. So when we look at trauma, trauma can sometimes cause mental health problems. Can trauma cause mental health problems? Yes, it can. Trauma can sometimes directly cause mental health problems or make you more vulnerable to developing them. It is among the potential causes of all mental health problems. It can be difficult to tell which problems are being caused by trauma. Some conditions are also known as within their stages of development to be from direct trauma, results of direct trauma, like PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, and complex PTSD, which is also the post-traumatic stress disorder. Trauma sticks with you even after the terrible moment has passed. It becomes a life sentence for a crime you didn't commit. So why is it that those which are the innocent victims are the ones that are still hurting and that are hurting the most from these types of issues stemming from mental health and mental illnesses? I found that what has happened is many times when we're Christians, we don't feel as though we need counseling when it comes to our mental health. But I would beg to differ to tell you that the reason why we as a people of God, we have to take care of this temple. We only have one temple. And so the temple that we have, we've got to also have what we call upkeep. So with that upkeep comes responsibility of keeping your mind whole, your body whole, your eating habits, different things like that. And so we have to take care of our body, which is the temple. And so when we begin to understand that when somebody has gone through trauma, then trauma affects every person differently because it sticks with those who have endured some type of trauma. And sometimes we call it soul trauma. And so a lot of Christians are dealing with unforgiveness that is stemming from trauma, church hurt, rejection, different things like that, that have been traumatic times in their lives. But it's time to be set free. Forgiveness is not for the other person, but forgiveness is for you.
Amen. However, how you are affected may depend on other things too, such as previous experience of trauma, other stress or worries at a time or later on being harmed by people close to you, whether anyone helps or support you. High function depression and anxiety is a result of childhood trauma that lay dormant from age 13 until it was triggered when I was 39.
Now, this is from an article that Apostle Herbie and I had found when this person was saying that they had experienced trauma when they were 13 years old, but it lay dormant until it was triggered 26 years later at age 39. Mm-hmm. So if someone would have told them that what had happened to them when they were 13 would come back due to triggers because they did not have the opportunity to deal with it at age 13, I'm pretty sure that would have been almost mind-boggling, that they would not have even believed that that would have been possible. But now you see where this person is saying that now that they're 39 years old, mm-hmm. statistically, something that happened at 13, 26 years later, they were triggered. And now at age 39, they've got to deal with it. This happens when, you know, if you have ever had any type of counseling, one of the main terminologies that someone, and which is a psychotherapist, psychologist or something like, you know, in that field, when you go in, you lay on their couch or they're counseling you, one of the main terminologies they talk about is, okay, let's unpack. In other words, let's deal with whatever it is that has been affecting you. Let's deal with it now. Let's start here. Let's start now. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the point where we want to know and we want to be able to find out what is it that you're dealing with? What is it that you're coping with? What is it that you're going through? So at this point in this stage in your life, you get to the place where you want to know, okay, one, I'm dealing with some trauma. What is the trauma that I'm dealing with? And because I'm dealing with the trauma, where do I go from here? What can I do to change my mindset? What can I do to change what it is that I'm enduring? What can I do right now that's going to benefit me in the future? And so what happens is you find someone who at 30, that 13 was traumatized, but was not triggered until 26 years later when they're 39. This happens in the church as well as outside of the church. Because if we don't deal with whatever it is and create an environment for a healthy lifestyle and healthy mental health, then what happens is we fall into the unknown space, I would like to call it, where the mental health or the lack of having a healthy mental health psychosis falls into that category of now I've gotten to the place that I've got to deal with this. Okay, this happened to me when I was just a little child, but now I'm going to have to deal with this. So now that I'm going to have to deal with me, let me hit this head on. And so this is what happens. This is what occurs. This is what takes place. And if you give me a moment, we're having trouble with our virtual background. I'm going to try to pop a slide in and just shrink the screen for us and see if maybe it'll populate better here in just a moment. Give me just a moment here. Okay, that's a little bit better. We're going to go like this because of the virtual background. For some reason, technically, it's glitching, and we don't want that to take attention off of what we're talking about. So what is trauma? Individual trauma. What is trauma? Individual trauma results from an event, a series of events, or set of circumstances mm-hmm. that is experienced by an individual as physically or emotionally harmful or threatening, and that can have lasting adverse effects mm-hmm. on the individual's functioning and physical, social, and emotional well-being. There are three main types of trauma. We have the acute trauma, mm-hmm. the chronic trauma, mm-hmm. and the complex trauma. Yes. So when we begin to look at this, then we begin to understand what is acute trauma. I'm glad you asked. Acute trauma results from a single incident. So someone who has been traumatized as a child, mm-hmm. who has gone through something as a child, that has been traumatized to such a point where it has fragmented. There's a series that that Apostle Herbie and I have about dealing with soul trauma. You become a fragmented. The name of the series is Fragmented. And so what happens is at the point of the individual trauma that takes place, it may be like that person, they were 13. It may have happened with someone younger at the age of 5, at the age of 10, sometimes in the young adolescent years. So what happens is that individual trauma takes place when there is an event or a series of events or a set of circumstances that causes them with that one single. These are the different types of trauma. But when it's that single incident that causes that person to suffer acute trauma. And then we have the chronic trauma, and it is this, it's a vicious cycle. It's repetitive and it's prolonged, such as domestic violence and domestic abuse. And you think about someone who's been emotionally abused and someone who's been physically abused. This is a vicious cycle that is repetitive over time. And then we look at the complex trauma, which is the very exposure to the different types of varied and multiple traumatic events, often of an invasive interpersonal nature. Now, this type of complex trauma, it deals with the acute, it deals with the chronic, and then it all comes together. It literally collides. And this is a severe type of trauma. A lot of times, you know, people as Christians, we may think that, you know what, well, I'm just going to say that it doesn't make any sense. You know, this is what a lot of times people say, you know, I can go to the Lord, I can ask God to forgive, I can ask God to take it away from me, I can ask God to take away what it is I'm dealing with. That is true. That is what we are to do as Christians. But we're also supposed to apply the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that having faith without works is dead. So what does that mean? I've got faith to believe God to heal me. But at the same token, even though I have this faith, I do not apply, which is a part of the main principle of the application. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to get from having an unhealthy mental health situation onto, are you really trying to set healthy boundaries? Are you really trying to deal and cope? Are you really seeking counsel? Are you really unpacking and dealing with past traumas and that have resulted from different incidents that have been possibly acute, chronic, complex? Are you dealing with these? So these are some very serious issues we as a people of God need to deal with, because yes, we must have faith, according mm-hmm. to Hebrews 11:1, that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. What does that mean, Hebrews 11:1? It means even though I don't see it yet, yeah, I have the faith believing mm-hmm. that I'm going to receive it. I have the faith that even though it has not materialized yet, even though it has not manifested yet,
yes,
even though it has not come into fruition yet,
yes,
I have the faith believing that my mind will be the mind of Christ, that I will have a heart that's been circumcised because I've asked God to rend my heart and not my garment. And I know that I'm getting to the place in my life that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Why? Because some families are dealing with curses that have become that have come back from generational curses. Why is that? Because just because great grandmother had a disability of mental health and mental illness does not mean that is your portion. It does not mean that you have to go through. It doesn't mean that you have to be mentally ill, or you have to have an unhealthy mental state of mind, or it does not mean that you're going to carry on the tradition. No, God is looking for us to be burden bearers in the spiritual realm, but he's not looking for us to carry old generational curses.
Come on.
Looking for us to break them, yes, not to just break them, but to destroy generational curses.
Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus.
So, Apostle Herbie, I turn this over to you, this part.
Early childhood trauma generally refers to the traumatic experience that occurred to children age of 6. Mm-hmm. Children can experience various types of trauma, including natural disaster, mm-hmm. sexual abuse, physical abuse, domestic violence, medical injury, illness, or produces mm-hmm. Committee violence, neglect, depravation, traumatic grief, victim of crimes, kidnapping, accidents, school violence, and loss. Traumas and brain development. Research has shown that children are particularly vulnerable to trauma because of their rapid development, developing brain. During traumatic experience, a child's brain is in heightened state of stress and fear related hormones are activated. Although stress is a normal part of life, when a child is exposed to chronic trauma like abuse or neglect, the child's brain remains in their heightened pattern. Remaining in this heightened state can change the emotional behavior and contradictive function of the child in order to maintain and promote survival. Over time, these traumatic experiences can have a significant impact on a child's future behavior, emotionally development, and mental and physical health. Adverse childhood experiences study.
Excuse me, my throat is tickling.
The adverse childhood experience study underscore the impact of trauma on physical and mental health over time. The types of trauma, emotional trauma, symptoms, psychological concern, anxiety and panic attack, a fear, anger, irritable obsession and compulsion, shock and disbelief, emotional numbing and detachment, depression, shame and guilt. Especially if a person dealing with this, with a trauma survival while others don't. Define emotional trauma.
I wanted to interject here, Apostle, before you get into defining emotional trauma. We're going to look at some scripture. When it talks about anxiety, the psychological concerns of the anxiety, the panic attacks, the fear, the anger, irritability, obsession, and compulsion, shock and disbelief, emotional numbing, and detachment, depression, shame, guilt, especially if a person is dealing with the trauma survived while others didn't. So the word of God tells us, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Isaiah 43:1 says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are my own. I want to encourage you all on this morning to understand, one, you can take the authority and you can take dominion according to the word of God over your psychological concerns that are residue of emotional trauma and the symptoms that you're dealing with. Yes, there is nothing wrong. Again, I will say there is nothing wrong with unpacking and having counseling. A lot of times you can get counseling from your church, your pastors. But a lot of times some people, they seek outside help. And it's only because sometimes they're more comfortable that way. And so we need to understand this. So you know what? God did not give us the power of fear. When that spirit of anxiety comes on, those panic attacks come on, when you begin to feel fearful and angry, and that anger sets in and all this irritability and all of these things come in, these types of psychosis, then you need to apply the word of God according to 2 Timothy 1:7. You know what? God didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me this, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So my mind is sound in the word of God. I have yet put on the spirit of the mind of Christ. And so because I put on the mind of Christ, I no longer think the way I used to think. I no longer act the way I used to act. Mm-hmm. I no longer allow the anxiety and the panic attacks to take root in my spirit.
Amen.
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 Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Mm-hmm. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So we have come to tell you on today to yet be encouraged. I know that this is an issue and a topic that many are ashamed to talk about. I know that a lot of times we as a people of God, we always quote scriptures, but there is no application and there is no action. You know what? Love is an action word. Don't tell me that you love me. Show me that you love me.
Amen.
Okay? Action. That means, guess what? It's in motion. It's mobilized. Okay, so in other words, if I've got faith to believe according to Hebrews 11:1, then guess what? If I've got that, now faith is. Then now faith is. Okay?
Yep, go ahead.
If I've got that, now faith is. Then guess what? If I've got that type of faith, then guess what? Let me apply the actions to what I'm feeling. Because I'm going to church. I'm going down on the altar. The enemy is trying to hold me hostage. And he's trying to hold me in bondage because I'm having mind battles or because I'm going through the motions and I don't understand why is it all of a sudden the closer I get to God, the more the enemy is trying to come in and he's trying to rob me of my sound mind of Christ. So then we begin to understand, okay, it's a part of the process. I've got to fight for this. So that means I've got to take actions and I've got to take some application, applying the word of God in my everyday life. I can't just talk about scripture. I can't just read scripture. I can't just meditate on it. Yes, we're supposed to do all three. But guess what? This is when the rubber meets the road. This is when the application comes into process. This is when I have to apply the word of God to my personal life. I can preach about it. I can teach about it. I can do whatever. But guess what? What am I doing for my own mental health well-being? Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead, Apostle.
You know, the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens that? And God, he's going to give us life more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens that we have to, as the apostles say, put on the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And stay focused on God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Defining emotional trauma. Trauma in general is tough to clearly define. Since everyone possesses events differently, what one person may view as traumatic, another may find to be merely a difficult situation. The point is that trauma is unique to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not here to define what consists trauma and what does not.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are common situations that people find emotionally traumatic, such as a verbal abuse, mm-hmm. loss of a loved one, and bullying. Living in high stress area, neglect, and separation.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever creates your emotional trauma, Leaving it unsolved can lead to long-term consequences. Mm-hmm. The aftermath of trauma. Mm-hmm. If you have been through something traumatic and you are unable to process it properly, you may find yourself with the following issue. You have one, anxiety. Many of our patients report high level of anxiety that plague their every waking hour after a traumatic event. While everyone worries from time to time, an anxiety disorder traps you in a fight or flight mode that can prevent you from functioning normally. Mm-hmm. Here we got two, re-experiencing or flashbacks. Even if your trauma is well in the past, you may experience flashbacks of the event that are triggered by certain reminders. These flashbacks are more than just an unpleasant memory, as you are experiencing the same emotionally you feel at that time, quite vivid. As well, you may find yourself struggling with ongoing nightmares. Then you have three, behavior change. In an attempt to forget the past and to control their emotion, many people turn to substance, such as drugs or alcohol, which can very easily lead to substance use disorder if left unchecked. By the same token, some people turn to food to cope with unsolved issues, which can lead to weight issue or eating disorder. Mm-hmm. As well, some people turn to risky and dangerous behavior, preferring the thrill of the moment to sitting with their emotions and memories. Mm. And then we got four, your health issues. Experience how high of anxiety can cause widespread inflammation in your body, which can lead to a number of serious health issues such as cardiovascular disorder or
autoimmune disease.
Five, you have
cognitive function.
When your brain is heightened by emotional trauma, it can lead to conviction.
When your brain is hijacked by emotional trauma, it can lead to cognitive issues such as problems. He tells me about these medical terminologies, such as problems with memory and focus, which is your concentration. In extreme cases, people are unable to function at school or at work because of their inability to focus on the task at hand. The four types of trauma response, fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. We're going to examine these four trauma responses. A trauma response is the reflexive use of an over-adaptive coping mechanism in the real or the perceived presence of a trauma or traumatic experience. The four trauma response most commonly recognized are fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, sometimes called the four F's of trauma. Healthy stress response aren't inherently bad, as it helps you to assert yourself in short-term situations. However, in the face of trauma, it can be taken to the extreme and become something wearing and unhealthy for your body. The fight response, when healthy, The fight response can allow the assertion of solid boundaries, setting those healthy, solid boundaries. When unhealthy, when used as a trauma response, it's a active self-preservation function where you move reactively towards conflict with anger and aggression. It's a fear. It's a state of fear where you confront the threat to stand up and to assert yourself. So in other words, when you were in that fight mode, there's a solid boundary that you've drawn. You've put up a wall and you've asserted yourself. You put up this wall. So it's not a healthy boundary. It's really an unhealthy boundary. I remember I said something about a healthy boundary. But no, it's not a healthy boundary. It's a solid boundary, which has become an unhealthy boundary. You put up a wall where you don't want anyone to really deal with you. You don't want to hear what anyone else has to say. You've gotten to a place where you're moving to more, you're more reactive towards conflict with anger and aggression. It's a fear state where you cannot confront the threat to stand up and to assert yourself. The fight response. When faced with a dangerous situation, the fight response corresponds with avoidance behavior. So when you get to the stage of ready to fight, the second F there, then you're dealing with avoidance behavior. When you're healthy, you're able to be discerning in stressful situations and disengage within limits. So you don't push the envelope. You're able to deal with the situations, even though it may be stressful, but you're able to disengage without getting to that point where you're putting up walls. You're not being aggressive. You're not running towards the conflict, but you've gotten to a place where you say, okay, I'm disengaging this. I'm not going any further within my limits. However, as a trauma response, you take it a step further by isolating yourself entirely. So rather than putting up the wall, you become withdrawn. So that too, that fight and that flight. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we've got the freeze, and then we've got the fawn. And then I'm going to turn it back over to Apostle Herbie. So then we look at the freeze response. When healthy, the freeze response can help you slow down and appraise the situation carefully to determine the next steps. When unhealthy, the freeze response relates to disassociation and immobilizing behaviors. When this defense is enacted, it often results in literally freezing, feeling frozen and unable to move. So you're immobilized or finding yourself spacing out as if you're in a haze or a fog. You're detached from reality. You don't feel like you're really here. And you've mentally checked out as you leave out what's happening in your surroundings, what's going on around you in your environment, and what you're feeling in an attempt to find emotional safety. So you've withdrawn, you've frozen in time. You've gotten yourself where you've checked out. You've blocked out everything in your environment, everything that's going on around you. And you're just really on an island all to yourself. So then we talk about the fawn. As its core, fawning is about people pleasing and engaging and pacifying behaviors. It's characterized by prioritizing people above all else by doing whatever they want to diffuse conflict and receive their approval. It seems good to be well-liked and to defer to others to secure safety, but not when it's at the cost of losing yourself. Please hear me when I say that. It's not worth it being at the cost of you losing yourself. It can reach a point where you abandon yourself and your needs by merging so thoroughly into others and that you don't even feel seen by others and may feel eclipsed by the people in your very life. Wow. Wow. I'm telling you, we're almost there, people. Can you have more than one trauma response? Apostle Hurt.
Trauma response don't always neatly fit into a catalog. So you may not over rely on the same defense. Whenever you encounter fear, it is more likely to primarily identify with one or two, but still tied between the four F. Depending on the situation, specific context that you are in. For people who suffer several trauma, respond pair up, creating hybrids like fight, fun, and fight, freeze. Mm-hmm. Another factor contributing to our response are the real or perceived consequence of our action. The saddest note. One trigger for a trauma may elect more of the freely instance where another that present may want you to fight. An example of this is an age-old argument with a loved one where you both want to hang up the phone and yell. Or if you are fawning, you want to tell them they are right and you are wrong just to keep the peace. What is trauma? About 60% of men and 50% of women in America will experience trauma. At least one in their lives, with 12 million U.S. adults, suffer from PTSD. During any given year, give it prevalence. It is important to understand what trauma is, what effect it has, and clearly, where help can be found. A trauma, a definition. The American Psychology Association, it defines trauma as an emotional response to a terrible event like an accident, a rape, or natural disaster. Short-term response are typically shock and denial, while long-term response can include unpredictable emotional flashback, strained relationships, and even physical symptoms like headache or nausea. These are normal response to abnormal experience. A trauma is a very complicated kind of harm that can result from a wide variety of events or circumstances and is frequently a result of domestic violence. Although individuals can experience trauma in unique ways, there are none unless common trait that allows for some categorization. Mm-hmm. Psychology have identify three main types of trauma: acute, chronic, and complex.
Acute trauma results from a single incident. We're just refreshing. Chronic trauma is repeated and prolonged, such as a domestic violence or abuse. Complex trauma is exposure to a variety of multiple traumatic events, often of an invasive interpersonal nature. The very effects of trauma, the ways that it can affect you is you have concentration problems, memory problems, psychological stress, psychological distress, physiological distress, relationship problems, social withdrawal, fear, sadness, feeling nervous, jumpy, or high, always on high alert, that kind of waiting for the next shoe to fall kind of reflex. You can be irritable, having issues with irritability or anger, difficulty sleeping. You can have intrusive thoughts, flashbacks or nightmares, and trouble feeling positive emotions. So this is something that we want to bring to you about the mental health and mental illness. We hope and pray that this has given you some very good tools, some information to be able to unpack some traumatic experiences that you yourself may have suffered, some things that you may have gone through, some things that you may have even packed down into, let's just use the analogy of a trunk. You may have packed it down and put it away, locked it up with the key, and then something triggers it later in life. And when it triggers it, it comes back, but it comes back full force. It comes back bigger than what it was at the time. It comes back full grown, so to speak. So this does happen, but it's so, so important that we develop healthy coping mechanisms to be able to deal with trauma. When we begin to utilize the tools that we have at hand to be able to go from point A to point B, we begin to kind of lay out and begin to, we can even scribe or write down in a diary or a journal or something. And we can say, you know, what relative risk of trauma responses that do I have? How do I react when things that were traumatic events, and the way that I showed my vulnerability, or what type of protective factors do I have to utilize, or what type of resiliency have I gained through the years when this type of trauma comes back and rears its head? And so Apostle Herbie and I, we hope and pray that this has helped you this morning here on Let's Talk About It podcast. We pray that you're able to utilize what we've said here in our podcast on today, and to be able to apply it. Remember, application is key to your everyday life. And you're able to be positive, to look forward, and to begin to prioritize self-care, to begin to face your feelings through the avoidance. Stop avoiding things. Begin to deal with things head on. Gradually try to ease back into your normal routines. Try to get to the point, like I say, prioritize self-care, prioritize self-discipline. Get to the place that you're able to develop healthy coping strategies, such as art, music, meditation, relaxation, and spending time. Just take a walk sometimes, or just, you know, read a book, or pick up the Bible and read and meditate on the word of the Lord. And so these things will also help to get your mind refocused, readjusted, to get back where you need to be. Learn how to just be patient with yourself, to know that nothing happens instantaneously, that life is a process. Working through life is a process. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just that you've got to develop the tools that you need to become whole, to become wholesome, and to become one, and not to be such a fragmented part of who you used to be, or the things that you're distressing about, and the things that you've dealt with in your family, or generational curses from way back when, 5 or 10 generations back. That's not for you. That was in their time, but now we have tools. Get into a good group to just be able to bounce off, and to be able to go and speak about what's going on, or get with your pastors, your spiritual leaders, and talk to them about what's going on. If you're not to that stage yet where you're comfortable doing that, then you know what? Find an outside source that you're able to unpack. Don't pack it down. But it's time to open up the footlocker, the suitcase, and it's time to start pulling out all of the junk. It's time to unpack and to get well. Amen.
Amen.
Apostle Herbie, anything you want to add?
What we have been going through is just trials and tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
But the road could never can be easy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stay in the word of the Lord. Yes, talk to him. Yes, get some help, and everything will be okay.
We're going to look at a few scriptures here in close. John chapter 10, verse 10, and it says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and enjoy. I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full. This is till it overflows." Okay. This is the Amplified translation. I'm reading it in Amplified, but I'm hearing it in King James. So if you see me pause, that's what's going on. In Luke 22 and 31, it says, "Simon, Simon, Peter, listen, Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain." We need to understand something. There is a battle going on, and we have to stand strong. We have to be of sober mind. According to 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times, that the enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. We have to understand something. When we get a sound mind in Christ, when we put on the mind of Christ, when we get to a place in our life and we say, you know what, I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm going to get to a place in my life that I know I've been wishy-washy. I know I've been tossed to and fro. You know, if you like wisdom, the word of God says, ask. You know, and we need to stop being, as a people of God, thinking that we know everything, because we do not. We are forever learning. We're lifetime learners. And so this is something we need to understand. We will never have arrived. We are continually being transformed into who God says that we are in him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let Apostle Herbie close out with this scripture. Give me just a second here.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, it's all about unite our mind with Christ. It is no longer us who lives, but Christ who lives in us. The life we now live, we live in the flesh by faith, and the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. His life is our life. We are united with Jesus, which means we have his mind.
Mm-hmm. So we have the mind of Christ. We have to put on the mind of Christ. And we have to understand that no matter what comes our way, we know that God is able,
yes,
to do everything but fail. So, dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for this podcast today. We thank you for every person that's getting on this morning. Father God, we ask that you will open up their minds, Father God, their ears and their spirits to be receptive to hear what the Spirit is saying.
Yes, God.
Father God, you need us to have a sound mind in Christ. We need the mind of Christ, Father God, to be able to walk out your will as the remnant in this hour. Father God, for there is much manipulation, there is much deception, but Father God, we lift ourselves to you, Father God. We humble ourselves to you. And Father God, we examine our own self. Father God, don't let us just preach the word, but let us live what we preach in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Bless each and every person on the podcast this morning. Father God, as they go about their days, God, Lord, shield and churn them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, and begin to just enlarge this word as they ingest it, Father God. Allow their hearts and their minds to be able to digest it, Father God, and let this be meat that is able to replenish them over and over again, Father God. And let it be meat for their souls. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And again, I am Apostle Rosemary. This is my wonderful husband, Apostle Herbie. And you have been listening and watching Let's Talk About It podcast. So catch us again next month. We will be here. And go out, follow us on our YouTube channels. Catch us on our social medias. We're all over the place. But just keep us in prayer as we continue to walk in humility, as we continue to be the servants of the Lord. Amen. God bless you and God keep you. We love you. Have a great, great rest of your day. God bless.